This week, my friends and I discuss if the recent rise in cinema stocks is a saving grace for the film industry, or is it just delaying the inevitable? Also, why are we talking about superheroes, cowboys, and the ghost of Tina Fey? Find out as we break out the dailies. Hello, everybody. My name is Ethan Saunders, and you are listening to the first episode of Breakout the Dailies, which is another movie podcast, because my God, you can't have enough of those in the world. Just a bunch of people who have watched too many movies in their lives, and they think, yeah, you know what? Let's give our opinions. My guests today, which are three of my friends, all big movie fanatics. First off, my friend Kevin.
Hi.
My friend Tremaine.
Hello.
And my dearest friend before.
This man is lying. I am not a movie buff. I'm here for the memes.
you're the. I should have addressed. There's an impartial third party.
You know, in Sports Center, one of those sports shows where they have like the one person that just sits in the middle and just chimes in once in a while and knows nothing about sports.
That is absolutely me.
So today, on this episode, we're going to talk about, since we're in the pandemic and of course a lot of the theaters are closed down, most of the time we have switched to streaming to watch our films, and the big three so far that have been released recently are Wonder Woman, News of the World, and Soul. And I don't know if you guys have watched those yet. I have. I want to make sure.
I have seen Soul. I haven't seen the other two.
I've seen Wonder Woman. I haven't seen the other two. But I also want to point out that Tenet should also be mentioned as one of the big ones that came out. Actually, probably the first one.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, I saw Tenet. I just didn't think it made that big.
I think it was the first one to try to be a theater release out of all the movies that came out. But it
was it?
I think
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was.
Yeah.
Because no one went to go see it. So.
And four, have you seen any of these?
I have heard good things about Soul and News of the World. I heard Wonder Woman 1984. We're talking about 1984, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the newest one. Yeah,
I heard that one was, and then
impartial number three.
You have seen Tenet. I know you've seen Tenet.
I saw Tenet in theaters, and I really enjoyed that movie because, you know, my small brain caught up with it, like, you know, towards the latter half of the movie. So I was like, oh, I get it now. This is what's happening. When everyone else was like, oh no, yeah, we understood this at the beginning, and I'm like, oh. Yay.
Fair warning to those listening, there is going to be spoilers. I don't think we can hold back against that.
Yeah.
But this is your warning now.
Leave.
Yeah. If you don't want movie spoilers, why are you watching a movie podcast?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I don't understand why people do that. What? Like, you watch a movie review, and then you get spoiled, and then you go to the comments and say, you give me spoilers. It's a movie review.
I think my rule is, if the podcast comes out and it's about a movie that came out like that week, then maybe no spoilers. But it's been like a couple months now, then spoilers, I think, is like
months ago.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's free game right now. Mm-hmm.
I've had people pissed off at me because I spoiled the end of Citizen Kane.
How? Oh, God. Didn't that movie come out in like the 70s?
Yeah, it's been out for like the longest time, and not to mention you're the same age as me. And
really older than all of us.
It's honestly miraculous if you don't know the spoiler of movies like that. It's like not knowing the Luke Skywalker Darth Vader twist. I think everyone just knows it before they watch the movie.
Oh, spoiler.
I'm sorry, man. I'm out. I'm gone.
I think we should... the first one I really want to talk about is Wonder Woman 1984, because, oh, good Lord, that I felt like I wasted time
And the thing,
like, God,
it hurt. I honestly, it was like, I was gonna watch it sober, and then halfway through, I'm like, I can't. And then, like, I don't know how, but it was like, the movie was over 2 hours, but like, I felt like nothing happened.
Oh, that's the worst feeling. You're just sitting there, and you're just constantly feeling like, wow, I could be doing anything else right now, yet I'm here.
No,
It was completely different from the first Wonder Woman. The first Wonder Woman, I thought was great.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's the second or maybe even arguably the first best out of all the DCEU movies that came out. My favorite, Shazam.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love Shazam.
Well, I was just, we're talking about, you know, Wonder Woman. It's the same thing as with Shazam. It was, had to do with the cast. And I thought Pedro Pascal was great in 84, which isn't that big of a hot topic. And when I saw Kristen Wiig, it's like the same thing when I see Jordan Peele in that new Twilight Zone show that's out. When I see him, I can't take the rest seriously. They built their career around comedy that I can't just go, how am I supposed to take this seriously? She was playing like the brain dead character in Anchorman 2, and how am I supposed to go, yeah, this is the villain?
I think I don't know why she was. I think the only reason she was in the movie was to have like a fight in the third act, because you can't really fight Pedro Pascal's character because he's not really a physical type of character in the movie. But so I think she was only in it for that purpose, because honestly, you could have just set her up for like a third movie and just have her be there, but like have her not do any like half the crap she had to do in the movie.
Spoiler, which I shouldn't even say. That was disgusting when she turned into the full cat. I know that's what the character is, but oh my god, that was disgusting to look at.
So when you're saying transformed into the cat, like, are we talking like the Cats movie type beat where it's just like,
yeah, it's as bad.
That sounds disgusting. Also, if you want to be an apex predator, you could have just gone the Kraven the Hunter route and just taken animalistic abilities without the side effects on your body.
That her second, like, I guess, form in the movie was her wearing, like, you know, animal, like, fur coats and stuff, and I thought that was fine. I thought that would be the look. No, I was totally fine with it.
This is Kraven the Hunter. Why would you actually want to become a human-made cheetah? That's so weird.
No, you think she didn't? I don't think she chose. I think it just happened.
Yeah. You become the animal that literally can only run fast for like less than 6 seconds.
Sorry. And I love it when films, when they make like a CGI character like that bad, and they think, you know what? Let's be really sneaky. And the entire fight scene
is in the dark.
I'm like, Jesus, what is happening? I actually cupped my hands around my eyes even when I was in a dark room. I'm like, what is happening?
And you know, I don't. Here's another issue I had, a minor one, possibly, was the trailers had like them build up like that golden armor she wore. You know,
like, on the poster. Yeah, I was gonna ask about that.
It served no purpose.
I knew it would serve no purpose. It was way too gaudy of an armor for it to serve any purpose.
Halfway through the fight, she literally tore the wings off, and it was just like, okay. And then like, it did nothing. It didn't like give her a boost in power or anything. Did it help her fly?
She glided.
Well, she can fly in the comics. She can fly in the comics.
Like, yeah, that's fair. She can fly in like the Justice League cartoon and the comics. Yeah.
But they don't display completely in any other DCEU film ever.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no. In the 2000, was it 15, 14? 15, right?
Mm. I think, yeah. Yeah. Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah. She didn't fly. No, she didn't fly at all.
She jumped a long distance and that was it.
She forgot one thing.
John Carter.
She's falling with style.
And then the entire 84 movie, she's using her whip like she's Spider-Man.
Honestly, I like Spider-Man. The mall scene, and the first, I enjoyed that just because it felt very Sam Raimi, very Richard Donner kind of like cheesy fun, kind of like an 80s superhero movie.
Yeah.
I thought the whole movie would be like that, and I would have enjoyed it a lot more. It wasn't.
Just to say something good about it, because we said a lot of bad things, I would say I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
I think she's actually better as Wonder Woman in this movie than the first movie.
Really?
I think just because she's not playing the fish out of water anymore, she's actually Wonder Woman. She's lived like as Wonder Woman for decades now. I think I feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make the movie better.
No.
No.
It's flawed.
Actually, I think I will say this. Chris Pine, I still think worked in the movie. I don't actually not one thing we didn't touch on. The way they brought him back made no sense to me, like at all. If you guys don't know like the plot of the movie before Tremaine, it's basically right. There's a magic wishing rock, right?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone gets one wish, but it's like a monkey's paw thing where it takes something away from you, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she indirectly wished for Steve back, right?
Okay.
And then but he comes back, but his soul comes back in someone else's body, like just a random person that was just living life. He just stole his body, basically. He was just Steve Trevor. And like in his body, but it also doesn't make sense because people like the other people that made wishes, like that didn't happen. Like some guy wished for like a giant wall to erupt, it just sprung out. Like there was no like indirect thing. And someone wished someone to drop dead actually in the movie, and the guy literally dropped dead.
What a waste of a wish. I think like the funny if I could make a wish. And it would be like if someone next to me just goes, oh, I wish for $1 million. My wish would be, I wish he didn't get $1 million. My wish is to use to counteract someone else's wish.
Yeah, let me just
out of spite.
Whoever's next to me.
Kevin, since you and I are the only people that watched it, how would on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the film?
5.5 to like a 6? Like,
fair.
It's not the worst thing I've seen. I've seen much worse, but honestly, compared to the first one, it was just disappointing.
I give it a 4.
4 out of 10. So you really didn't like it, right?
I wouldn't say I hated it. It's just I wouldn't watch it again.
I just want to hear. Where would you put it at all the DCUs? Because I think it's better than like Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. It's between Suicide Squad and Justice League.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
it's like in that level. Batman v Superman, I really didn't like either. It's like around there.
I was literally going to ask on a scale, would you make it worse or better than Justice League? And that basically answered my question. So,
yeah. Oh, it's worse than Justice League.
Honestly, it's a toss up for me.
That's hard to do.
It's a toss up because I can only remember one scene in Justice League I liked, and it was literally Henry Cavill moving his eyeball really fast to see the Flash, and I was like, cool. The rest of the movie I could live without.
Not much.
Anytime remember in the Justice League, it's like the one power, it's like everyone loves Superman doing his powers. Like he's got the laser vision, the strength of the flight. Anytime that happens, it's like, oh, it's cool.
Right.
But I understand ice breath and like super breath or whatever. On paper, it looks good. But anytime in a film, like any Superman film I've seen it, it's atrocious. It's like the wind noise that comes out. I go, oh, they got that off stock footage on like YouTube or something.
Actually, random thought, but who's seen Superman 4 Quest for Peace?
I have.
Oh, I have.
Did you have? So. Actually, before you haven't, then right?
I think we both know. I think we all know. I haven't
so
seen that.
There's a scene in that movie. There's a scene in that movie where I think he's fighting the guy, like the villain with the freaking long nails. I forget his name. The evil Superman.
Nuclear Man.
Yeah. And like they destroy like God. I think the Great Wall of China, and then he rebuilds it with wall rebuilding vision.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that's not a classic Superman power? What about where he can take his S and throw it at people?
What the f***?
We've gotten a little bit off topic, or a lot. We've gone into a completely different film.
More of the story. Wonder Woman 1984 is not as bad as Superman 4. Okay.
So next, I want to talk about Soul, which of course is a Pixar film, but I also want to talk about it because I want to get Tremaine to talk. And Tremaine, you have seen it. The big thing about Soul is of how it's, well, besides them being little spirits and stuff like that, it's the first fully like Pixar film that featured black.
Nope, people. You've got Tina Fey in there. It ain't fully black.
Well, that's what I mean. She was just a ghost. They didn't show, like, white folks.
She was blue.
They said in the film, why do you have a voice of a white woman?
How does it feel that the one movie, the white woman is the minority? How does...
Oh, don't word it like that. Don't word it like that.
So... For those who haven't seen it, the summed up plot is a man who's a music teacher gets an opportunity to actually play music in a club where, and then he just dies, and then now he's just trying to get back to Earth, and but he has Tina Fey ghost on his shoulder because we always need to have some almost obscure comedian in every single film now.
Jesus,
Tina Fey's obscure.
Oh, you either have Tina Fey or you have blonde Tina Fey. There's no winning. Thank you. So, Tremaine, you saw it. I wanna hear your thoughts on the film.
It was a good film. At the beginning, it was kind of slow. I guess you could kind of tell where it was going. Then. As the film went on, it wasn't anything like too, I guess, groundbreaking or anything, but it was still a fine film. And then you got towards the end, and well, spoilers, left you off on a cliffhanger. And for me, I was kind of like, well, dang, I was actually anticipating this, or I was actually anticipating him becoming a teacher or something, but he never did that, and I was kind of mad that I didn't see that, but still, regardless, a good film.
Curious.
Hey Dom, we're kind of doing
we're kind of doing a thing.
Well, I like doing things.
I knew it, I couldn't lock the channel. Oh man, all right, so ladies and gentlemen, now we have my friend Dom, who's now in the podcast. So, Dom, we were talking about the movie Soul. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, when black people get feelings?
Okay.
Back to the topic at hand. The movie Soul. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Most Pixar films, visually pleasing. Like, honestly, looking at it, it was great. The one problem that I've heard a lot is they didn't, when they made a movie that centered around just black people, which typically most animated films haven't done since, I think, The Princess Frog. It's the same thing where they spent more of a time on the ghost part, the soul part, and it's the one problem that a lot of people had, that is that they didn't focus too much on like black people in the black community.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel compared to, say, like where most of Hollywood movies are typically whitewashed?
Considering, I guess, what it was trying to do and how much of black culture it actually got in there. I'd say it wasn't a lot. They definitely could have done more. And it's a relatively short movie. It's only like an hour and 40 some minutes, from what I remember. But yeah, I think they could have done a longer movie and include a little bit more if they were trying to specify the point of, oh, it's a black movie. It's a, you know, we're centered around African American culture or whatever. But they did it for, I think, maybe a couple. Oh, hold on. I think they did it for maybe like 3, 4, maybe 5 scenes in total. And then the rest was the soul. And then other things.
I feel like a lot of movies do that nowadays when they're trying to, like, you know, like push the narrative or like a statement that, you know, oh, this is like a black film. They'll, like, you know, they'll show it in the commercials and the trailers and, like, you know, they'll advertise it like that, right? But then when the actual film comes out and you go and watch it and you're under the impression that you're going to watch it for that, it's, you know, very, it's lessened a lot. But I've heard nothing but good things about the movie from a lot of people in the black community. But like Tremaine said, I feel like we're getting there, but they can definitely do a lot more with just showing African-American culture, period. They don't need the soul aspect of it. Granted, that is like the plot of the movie, but, like, you know, you could do more with it. Like, you could literally just spend the first, you know, the rising action of the movie just building up the African community in that world. Like, you know, just showing it off, everyday life and that kind of stuff. But that's just what I think.
I think we're getting there. I've seen, I think today, the, what was it? Coming to America 2 is coming out.
I can't wait.
Oh,
I do want to say, overall, though, I think Pixar has done Disney in general, has done a relatively good job with cultural inclusivity, because I think Moana did a good job with
culture.
Coco, I think, did great with Mexican culture, even though, like, you know, they were all skeletons, but they showed, like, their whole culture in the underworld, because, you know, that holiday is really special to Mexican culture, and I think they did a really good job. The music was great in that. Speaking of which, how was the score and the music in Soul?
I loved it.
It was good. It was a lot of jazz.
Was it jazz? I think that's because showing the culture through music, especially jazz, I think is a great thing. I still need to see a movie, but hope knowing that the score fits into the, you know, the whole motif of the movie, I'm gonna look forward to it.
That was where one of the themes I picked up on was the passion for things is what helps define you, but isn't what can ultimately define you. It's something you enjoy, something you get into, and that's one of the great things. It's like a Pixar film, anytime I see it, I always think about the lesson that they're trying to teach, because their morals in their films are so they're so fantastic. It's something that all kids need to learn, and the passion for things and developing yourself was a good theme. And but they also touched upon depression and
from what I got from the film, the main, I guess, theme of it was it's good to have a passion or a drive to do something, but don't lose track of actually living, you know.
Exactly. And that is a big sort of thing to teach children. Like, I thought this is something I would see like a 13-year-old learning, like something to get them prepared for life. But if I were to bring like my 7-year-old, I'm not saying it's bad, but that's something a little early on in their life to teach them about. Like, that's a serious topic.
You also have to teach them about death too.
That's why they made the soul so cute. Imagine bring your kid into like the theater and like he becomes a soul, and the kid's like, "I can't wait to die."
I want to die.
You mean like my parents did that to me when I was a little kid? They made me watch Roots, and that was interesting.
Jeez.
Random thought.
Like, me and my brother were sitting on the couch. They're like, "You're gonna sit down and watch this movie," and I was like, "Is it gonna be a good movie?" And they're like, "You're gonna watch it." And I was like, "Oh." Right. I'm sitting there thinking, like, "Whoa, why are these dudes hopping on a boat? Whoa, why is this guy got a chain around his neck? Like, why are the nets?"
Did they lock the door behind them when they were leaving? They're like, "Oh, you're gonna have to watch this whether you want to or not."
Yeah,
it's one of those serious films. No. That's something serious to show a kid. Oh, lucky enough for me, I watched that later in my life. But it's that topic again of like showing these things to kids. I know it's in their most influential ages and the best time to teach them things, but I think, and it's not the topic of this podcast, but you have to ease them into it. It's like back in fifth grade when they, it's like, remember Just Around the Corner? Like those little videotapes where they would teach kids about like sexual education. And it's just like you're sitting there. It's like all of biology just hits you right in the face. And that's not a euphemism. It's just, it's just everything right there. And you have to absorb all of that right then and now, or you, the rest of your life is going to be so confused.
So you're just sitting there attentively watching a smart board, and you're just like, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to act like I know what's going on.
Oh, God, you said smart board. I've heard that in like a decade.
All right, so Tremaine, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Soul?
I think I would rate it like an 8, or between an 8 and a 9.
It's a pretty good score. That's a high B.
Yeah.
I would give it a 9. Closer to your score, like an 8.7. Honestly, it looked gorgeous. Like, animation has come such a long way.
Here's the real question, then. Would you rather be dead in Coco or in Soul?
Dead in Coco.
Okay.
Did you watch Coco, man? Bro, they got spirit animals.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen Soul. That's what I'm saying.
Soul didn't have anything.
Oh. Wow.
Soul looks like a really good movie, but if I have the opportunity to get a gigantic soul tiger that can fly, I'm taking it. I'm taking that.
No, our luck. We're getting like a chicken. Like, you're gonna get a rooster. I'm gonna get like a junkyard cat. Tremaine's getting like some skunk. You're just gonna have
Dom gets a rat.
Dom gets a rat.
Whoa.
Ethan gets a gerbil.
First off, don't you talk about Ratatouille like that.
Oh my god.
You just assume you're gonna get Remy.
Oh god, imagine spending the afterlife with Patton Oswalt.
Oh, no. Hey guys, we're good.
Hey, you're telling me Remy's there's a better way to spend it?
Alright. So the next movie that we're gonna talk about, or just quickly touch upon because the next topic is a little bit bigger, but the next movie is News of the World. Dom, did you see News of the World?
No, I did not.
You think Dom would watch a movie like News of the World?
This is the one movie I know like about the littlest about.
Same.
All right, so I'll give a quick synopsis summary. Tom Hanks is an old captain from the Civil War, I believe, and his job is to go around the country with news of what's happening in different states. And telling people in towns of what's happening in their country. At the time, most of the people were either too busy to learn about this stuff. And, you know, there was no phones, there was no radio or television. So they really can't understand with people in the middle of the country what's happening on the East Coast. And then he comes across a child. So her family was killed and she was raised by Native Americans. And Tom Hanks takes her to her aunt and uncle, who are still living. And it's like, that's it. It's them traveling and Tom Hanks just palling around with.
God.
When I mean, their saving grace in this film was that Tom Hanks was there.
Oh. What genre would you put this movie in? Would this be like a war film? Or would be like,
I would call it like a close to a biopic. Yeah, it's centered around Tom Hanks's character, and that's it. Just him traveling back and forth. They get into a couple of scuffles. They go into like a bad town, and who gives? why is this on you? If this was that time, this man would not care. This man would not just go, yeah, I'll take care of this child. I'll bring her to a family. This is my duty. He'd just go, tough shit, and just right on.
I mean, have you played The Last of Us? Because apparently, you find a small girl, you have to protect until you die.
Hey, guess what? Spoiler alert, he got his head bashed with a golf club!
I don't think that's much of a spoiler at this point.
Because he said the second one came out last year.
Before he's really passionate about it.
I'm sorry. That scene still hurts me.
I mean, Logan is about an older guy that finds a small girl and he has to protect it until he dies.
Too. But that's the thing. It's, at least in The Last of Us and in Logan, there was a reason for why they were doing this. They were being paid for it, and they were doing it as a job, and they sort of got that bond after. For Tom Hanks' character, he just found her. And it's like, yep, I'll do this. I got nothing better to do. And you realize it's like, oh, the entire film he talks about, like, oh, my wife is back in Texas. And he goes, my wife is dead. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, everyone saw that coming. Everyone saw that coming. They did the same thing in Trains, Planes, and Automobile. And I was more surprised in that film than I was in this. Because it's like, if anybody in that century talks about, like, oh, I left my wife back there, 85% of the chance they died.
That or the person that's trying to get home to his wife dies.
You could have said Iron Man.
It just reminds me of Castaway.
The dude in the cave is trying to get back to his family.
Vincent?
And then he goes, my family's dead, Tony. They've always been dead.
Ethan, it just sounds like you're surprised that Tom Hanks in this movie has the morality to, you know, see a random girl abandoned and just go, you know what, I'll take it upon myself. Whereas you would be like, oh, cool, little kid, and then just keep pushing.
If he's working for dimes at a time, he had people to leave her with. But he's like, no, I'll do it. Why? Why? There's nothing for you.
Because it's the right thing to do, Ethan. It's the right thing to do.
People are dying at the life expectancy back then, man, was 40. You're telling me you're going to go, yeah, I'm going to spend the rest of my days helping this girl. And then, spoiler alert, I don't know if you guys are going to watch it.
I thought about it.
He leaves her with the aunt and uncle, but she keeps running away. So
there was no point!
So, no, Tom Hanks goes back to his wife, quote-unquote, sees the grave, and he's like, you know what? I do want a traveling buddy. So he rides all the way back, and he sees that because she keeps running away, they stake her into the ground, like, with a leash, like a dog.
What?
Then the aunt and uncle are like, she doesn't work. She just wants to run away. I remember when he's like, I'll take her. And then the wife of the guy, the aunt, just looks at the uncle and goes, we've tried all our best with her. It's been a day and a half.
Oh my God.
What was your best?
Wait, so after, let's say, a day and a half, they're like, yep, only choice is to tie her down.
Do work. She just sat there and ran away. Oh, okay. We're done.
We tried asking her nicely. I don't see any other way.
So then, in the end, Tom Hanks now travels around with a girl, teaching her English, and they present news to people.
So basically...
Wait, you're saying you don't know what language, but you say she's German? So she's not speaking German?
Well, no, she is German, or Polish, but she also speaks Native American. And I'm not sure which tribe, there are different languages of Native American. Yeah.
So what you're saying is, summed up, is, so you said that she had people to stay with, right? She was with the Native Americans when he found her.
No. When he found her, there was someone already taking her back. He came across, like, this turned over carriage, and some dude was, like, strung up on a tree. I think he was lynched.
God, no.
And she was just mucking about. Like, she was just there. Through the movie, you see, like, at one point, she's, like, up on a ridge and in, like, a storm and across, like, a big ravine. There's, like, caravan of Native Americans just moving. And she's, like, shouting at them in Native American, like, I'm the daughter of these two people. Like, she sees these two Native Americans that adopted her as her parents. And he goes, I'm this daughter. And, of course, they can't hear her because it's storming and she's like a mile and a half away. And then you come across them later. There's like a sandstorm and Tom Hanks is just like stumbling around in a sandstorm. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the same tribe of Native Americans are just walking casually through the sandstorm as Tom Hanks is fumbling around like an idiot. And they're just going, oh, hey, how's it going? And through their generosity, they get like a horse and she sticks with him. It's this whole big moment of, oh, wow, how nice.
This entire movie sounds like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, it was boring as hell. I don't recommend seeing it at all unless you like history.
I like that's history, it. And I don't, that this sounds.
I'm good, man.
I like my favorite history.
Yeah, you just want explosions, my dude. That's different.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I want explosions with a hot chick near the main character.
Okay, okay.
Excuse me for being straight, but that's just how I prefer.
All three of those movies that we talked about, they were most likely streamed them and saw them at our homes, because if you've been living under a rock for the past year, the pandemic's been going on, COVID, and it's taken a toll on cinemas and stuff like Regal Cinema and Cinemark have closed a lot of their places, and AMC is struggling right now as well. And I told Tremaine and Kevin about this. I'm pretty sure before, and Dom, you've heard about the whole stock thing that's going on.
Yeah,
I'm quite educated.
So we're going to talk about, in the last, I guess, 10 minutes that we have here, is to talk about the whole cinema thing, because the cinemas have been shut down for the longest time and more people have gone to streaming, and it seems like streaming might be the new norm, since streaming services like Disney Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime have been releasing their own films and people just rather see those. Everyone thinks, oh, as soon as this is all over, we're just going to get back to normal and go see movies again. And you go, well, are we? It's we're perfectly fine watching them in our comfort of our own homes. And places like Regal and Cinemark have just been closed this entire time, and they might just go bankrupt. And the articles I sent to Kevin and Tremaine, that before the whole stock thing with AMC, they've managed to raise $917 million to help them survive the next 6 months. Whoa. It was only lucky that for some reason some people on Reddit decided to just around with the stock market for
hits and giggles. If we start talking about that, that's going to be another hour, so let's not dive too deep.
Yeah.
Are the cinemas coming back? Aren't they coming back? What do you guys think? What do you think is going to happen?
I think when I first heard that the streaming thing was going to like start popping off was when Soul was being released, because I know that that movie was being released only on Disney Plus. This isn't like something new. I think the pandemic just kind of hastened society's move to streaming, because Netflix, Hulu, they've been dominating it for years, and people have been, you know, staying home and they watch their shows and stuff like that. And then, you know, bootlegging is still, you know, a thing. Cinemas have been dying for a while. Piracy! I think cinemas have been dying for a while. I feel like cinemas are soon going to be reserved for, like, you know, really big, like, motion pictures or, like, you know, old school movies. There's just too,
okay.
There's too many things now. Like, you know,
I kind of disagree.
I also disagree.
Just because for the longest time, people have been
varying
saying,
opinions. Oh,
cinema is, or a movie theaters are going to go away for the longest time. It's been like literal decades, and yet movie theaters are still relevant. Now, with COVID, movie theaters aren't a thing right now, but they were always in like danger of being like irrelevant, in a state of irrelevancy. But that's you saying movies just going to streaming and us destroying all of our movie theaters. That's like saying an artist, or all artists, are going to shut down every art museum just because they want to put all of their art on a digital gallery.
I'm not saying that movie theaters will be shut down. I just think that it'll take a huge blow because of movies, you know, moving to streaming. I'm not saying that it'll go out of business entirely. I just think that at some point, people aren't going to go to cinemas nearly as much as they did before COVID.
Again, I still have to disagree, just because a lot of people that I've worked with and people that I just know, they're still hoping, you know, after COVID and all the pandemic is over, they're like, oh, I want to go back to the movie theaters. I love the movie theaters. I wish the movies would open again, because they want, or it's like in the time of, I don't know if you guys know this, but in the time of the Great Depression, people went to the movie theaters a lot more than they did now and prior, because things sucked. And because of that, they wanted an escape from reality. So they went to the movie theaters 10 times more than they did, or rather than they should have, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And they just needed that escape. And it's kind of the same thing. Whereas when movie theaters open back up, it's probably going to happen.
People just, they are looking for that social area. It's like going to the movies was, even when I was a kid and even now, going to the cinema was always this big thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I'm going to go to a place for 2 hours. I'm going to sit there in a room of people that I don't know, and we're going to all watch the same thing. I think between, I can see from both of your points of view, it's like streaming is a lot more convenient. But when I'm streaming a film, I don't have people just going into the kitchen and just making a lot of racket.
That's true.
And
that's
like
true.
Moving in front of me. And then I don't have my parents just constantly going, who's that? Which one's that? Where's Tom Hanks? Which kind of Indian are they? And I go, no, we don't call them that. And
I do agree too, because I love going to the movie theater. I love it. But me just, you know, being kind of a
stickler,
I think that's how it's going to go. But I completely agree with Tremaine. I see what Tremaine's saying and you're saying.
Well, I could see from your point as well.
Yeah,
it's the convenience.
Yeah, I'm not saying like they won't not go to streaming services, just because like you had films before the pandemic happened where they were like Marriage Story, Irishman, like they were solely on Netflix or I'm trying to think, what's the other one? Greta Gerwig was the director, but I can't remember the name.
Little Women?
Yeah, thank you. That was on Hulu. So they were on streaming services, like solely on streaming services, but I don't think it's going to take away from the fact of people wanting to go see movies.
And what Kevin and Dom, what are your, I know Dom, you were disagreeing with
before.
I was disagreeing with before. Because he's an introvert, so he doesn't really understand at this point. Man's like, understandable. I like that too. I like that too. I like that even more than going to the movie. Whoa. Hey, shut up. It's my turn to talk. Okay.
I have but the you speaking see, the thing is.
Okay, go. All right.
Hey, okay, no, hey, I'm not finished. I'm not finished yet.
No, before. We got to give him time. Go ahead, Dom.
Okay. You see, there's people like to, if they go into the movies as an experience, okay? So they're not just going to just sit at home all the time. Like, once movie theaters open up and, like, things die down more or more people are once enough people are comfortable with leaving their houses in large groups, they're going to go to the movie theaters in large groups again, because not everybody is comfortable having a lot of people. Like, not everybody can have a lot of people in their house. Like, high schoolers, not everyone's parents is okay with having, like, 13 people just roll up in their house while they're at home. So they meet up at the movies to hang out, and they walk around, like, the movie theater near my house. That whole area, that whole shopping center area is like a public place for people to hang out. People just don't go to the movies and then leave. They go to the movies, they walk around, they go to another, like one of the small restaurants nearby, and they just hang out there. Like, that whole experience, one of the reasons they'll go to the movies, because they're not just going and then leaving.
Okay. This a social setting. That's a good point. Walmart did their whole drive-in movie theater thing that they were doing, but I didn't really hear much about that for after a while. And then I saw people in my own neighborhood making their own drive-in theaters, but they just put like a projector screen on their garage door, and everyone just brings their little camper chairs and they sit there. But then they just it's like something you would see at your elementary school.
I'm laughing.
Hey, stop laughing at me.
Me and Dom have literally said we were gonna do this.
Sorry, I didn't know that.
We've actually talked about like buying a projector, just projecting it. What the heck?
You know what I'm saying? That is totally a you and Dom thing. I can totally see y'all doing that.
You mean me, Dom, and Jackson?
Yes.
Because he also agreed to it.
To those listening, yes, we are going to abide by COVID rules.
Yeah, stay your dumb inside. Wear a mask.
There's your PSA of the day brought to you by before. stay inside. Don't be dumb. And when you get the chance to get the vaccine, take it. For the love of God, there are no microchips in it.
Wait, yes! Is that what people are saying? There's microchips?
Yes.
Oh, my days.
Oh, I love
the
it.
The government don't wanted to track you. They would have done it already.
They would have done it by now. There's so many opportunities to go to bed. Oh.
You have phones that are literally exactly that.
It's track. There are apps
your credit card
on
does
your
the
phones
same thing.
That track where you are. why would they need a microchip?
That's why I only use my limited edition Garfield rotary phone.
Oh, wow. Because
they can't track me. And I'm still on the gold standard, so I can't use a credit card. So joke's on you, Dom.
I use my phone for flip Motorola.
Oh. All right. It seems we're just about out of time.
Oh, I thought you were gonna ask Kevin.
Oh,
all right, we're out of time. I can just go on another tangent.
No, Kevin. No, I can splice it in quickly in 10 words or less. do you think cinemas are coming back?
Buy GameStop. Yeah, two words.
There we go.
Hold. Do not sell. Hold.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Breakout the Dailies. I am your host, Ethan Saunders. And today with me, my friend Kevin, before Tremaine and Dom.
That's how you rank with his friends.
No. That's how it's listed on the Discord right now.
They can't see that. He can say whatever he wants. All
right. Okay. Everyone say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.